Jesus is a revelation. Jesus is a revelation. Jesus is a revelation. And at the revelation of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, your Lord, at the name of Jesus. Now, the name of Jesus, the Redeemer, the one and only Lord and Savior, when He abides in you, Jesus, at the revelation of His name in you, everything has to bow. That's our promise. That's our call from the beginning of time, from the genesis of mankind's creation. We are given dominion, and that dominion given to us through the new covenant is Jesus Christ. And not just saying His name, as a lot of people say His name in a lot of different ways, and that doesn't do anything, but the revelation of the name of Jesus and all that that represents. We often incite prophetic or a prayer or conclude a prayer. What? In the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus is a revelation that every knee shall bow and every tongue has to confess you are Lord, and you are Lord in this situation. And that's God's word over your life today. In every, any, and all situations, whether you deem them worthy of praise or consider them evil or bad or great or not so great, at the name of Jesus, at the revelation of the name of Jesus. And what is that revelation? You are Lord of lords and King of kings, mighty God, Prince of peace, my Savior, my Redeemer. You've forgiven me. Not based on any actions or deeds or righteousness of my own, but through your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And Jesus, at your name, everything in my life has to bow to the authority of your will. And your will is in your name. And your name is your will, the name of Jesus, Lord over all, in all, through all, and to all that will receive Him. So I say to you today, in the name of Jesus, every situation that seems to be overwhelming, every situation that seems to be uncertain or fearful in your life, in the name of Jesus, bow and surrender to the will of God and to you, the revelation of who Christ in you is, as well as who you are in Christ, be revealed to you and through you, so you bear witness to the testimony that Jesus Christ lives and abides in me. As His Word said, Jesus said, I'm sending you the comfort, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what will happen when He enters you, and if you will believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God and God has raised Him from the dead, and you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you and empower you to bear witness as to who Jesus is. And as you bear witness to who He is, every situation in your life is going to reveal the very purpose of what you're experiencing at that moment and at that time, so God is glorified and you move forward in the victory that God has already given to you, because this is the greatest season of your lives. If you believe it, give the Lord a shout. The word of the Lord, you can take your seats, the word of the Lord, but we can stay right here for just a minute. The word, I love saying that, I live by the word. The word of the Lord is in the earth, and today it is searching all the earth for those that will believe in the authority and the power and the will of God the Father through Jesus Christ. Not of works, so we can't boast. You know what the great thing about not having the right to boast is? Is that we don't have to protect it on our own. We don't have to uphold it. He upholds it. We don't have to safeguard or secure it. Jesus does that. And I've been sharing with you for a little while now that it is important to have revelation, and the revelation that you are a part of God's reality is essential to your growth, your maturity, being strengthened, understanding what you're going through, when you're going through it, and finding the treasure that literally catapults you into a different time, a different space, a different understanding. So you're growing in the power of the Lord. You're growing in the revelation of who God, ever-expanding God is. You know, God is eternal. He's ever-present. There is no end to Him, which in essence tells us God is continually being revealed. He's continually being manifest in some way because His glory is eternal and without end. And He's doing that through you. That's why He made us. God deemed it right and necessary to create you as part of His personality, as part of His reality. So through us, God could make Himself known. That's the way He chose to do it. So how blessed are you? God looked at mankind, and the Word says He blessed them. And He said, I want you to increase in the earth. I want you to multiply in the earth. And that's who we are today. So I declare by the Word of God, according to the will of God, by the Spirit of God, that immense and tremendous and exciting change is blanketing the earth as though it was snow and it covered the entire earth, as though it was covering the earth and changing the temperature, changing the atmosphere, changing the seasons as if time itself were being changed. An expeditious movement, an accelerated season. Because Jesus is the first and the last, the beginning, the end, that which was and is to come. And there's a tremendous and wonderful purging going on in the earth in such wonderful chaos. Because God is turning what was upside down, right side up. Throughout the world. And God says, I'm doing something new. Again, God revealing that I'm going to do something that you haven't experienced. Something that the world hasn't experienced. Something new. And before I do it, I'm going to tell you about it. So today I'm telling you about it. Something incredible, something new. Don't fear the new thing, because the old thing looks like it may change. How could God do a new thing except the old thing be moved away? God is doing something incredibly new. He is purifying the sons of Levi. He is purging the hearts of His people. He is bringing about what He said, exceeding beyond all you know to ask or think. So it's not even up to us to know how we always should pray, because the Word says when you don't know how you ought to pray, the Holy Spirit will intercede not just for you but through you and reveal the things that God wills. And when God wills to do something, when we agree upon that thing God wills to do, it will come to pass. It has to come to pass at the name of Jesus. Everything has to surrender to the will of the Father. And I see and I hear such sounds of rejoicing and praising and thanksgiving. God's going to change our corporate world. He's going to change the structure of finance, and He's going to introduce new markets and new trade and new learning. And He's doing it through revelation as He has done it throughout the generations. But this is an understanding. This comes with an understanding that God is doing a new thing. A thing, what would be the new thing? Exceeding all that you've known to ask or think without fear of the old giving way to the new. And in the new is an experience, not only with you, not only for you, but for God. Because God enjoys what He's created. He enjoys His creation. He enjoys His people. Something phenomenal is taking place. And as the year closes, at the close of the year, God is opening doors of great new introduction. And here's what we have learned: to remain firm in the Word of God, to be unchanged by exterior events, but being transformed on the interior as our mind has been renewed in the nature of who Christ really in us is. That's really the revelation. That's why we're here. That's why we experience all these different kinds of things. Some things we truly enjoy and some things we'd rather didn't take place. But nonetheless, if you will stand firm in the reality that you are a part, not just a piece, you are a part of God's reality. And again, just like those who become parents, or you've had a brother or a sister, you didn't know what it was like to have that counterpart, to have that sibling or that child or that husband or that wife or that mom or dad, or until you were born, or until something was born out of you, or until you came into the unity. It was the potential, the ability has been in us all the time to either be a parent or to be a son or to be a daughter or to be a mom, a dad, or a brother or a sister. But until it shows up, until it takes place, you don't know the reality of it. You only know the idea of it. God has many incredible ideas. He's so complete, so perfect, so omnipresent, that is beyond. God is so beyond. So it's in the revelation of that understanding, you are a part of God's reality. You are a part of God's experience. Because the Word says that God is pleased with certain things and displeased with others. That's an experience, and that's a God experience. So the way we impact the world is not really the world in itself. It's really how we're impacting heaven. And we've talked about that many, many times. You can get discouraged because you don't see the things you want to see taking place in the earth, but you are impacting heaven. And though that may seem far off and disconnected from where you are today, it is the relationship. It is the very reason you have the relationship with the Father that you have today. Till heaven and earth unite, till heaven and earth come together. Pray, Jesus said, my kingdom come, my will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The Word says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, there is such relationship to it. God is so beyond, and He is so pleased to create humanity, the body, so He can find favor. This is that season right now of this scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only, another new experience, begotten Son. And the Word became Son. The Word became man. The Word became flesh. The Word became another aspect of God's reality. Jesus took on the form of a man, never done before. Took on the form of flesh, never done before. God experienced His own Son. We know it, and we know it pleased Him because the Word said, and it pleased Him. Jesus made this statement. He says, the Father's with me always. He loves me always. But there's a reason. Because I always do the will of the Father. If God were not having an experience with His Word and His will, then it wouldn't matter what happened. It wouldn't change His relationship with mankind, but it does. Because God is so far beyond. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I have a question. What is it He loves about the world? What is it that God loved about the world so much that Jesus, the Word, Spirit became flesh and dwelt among us? while we were yet in sin, he gave his life for us. So God doesn't love sin. He doesn't love rejection of his will and his word. He doesn't love evil. He doesn't love darkness. But when God steps into a dark picture, what happens? It becomes light. So what is it he loves about the world? Well, it's demonstrated in Genesis 1. And God said. God loves the word of his will. That's what he loves. And God said, and it became. God loves his will, his word. God loves the will of his word. What his word says, it does. God is so complete. God is, his way is perfect. God's way is so perfect. He's so omnipresent, so beyond that he created you and I to experience something beyond. And God said, that's what he loved. God loved that he said. And God loved what he said to mankind. And he said to the first two humans in the earth, keep my word. Keep my word. Don't do this, but do that. God is so beyond that even nothing is something. He is so complete and so full that even nothing is something. Nothing may not seem to have any tangibility to you. And in your life, you may say nothing seems to be going on right now. But if you understand you are part of God's own reality and he's experiencing part of that reality through you, you can't be in what you think is a nothing time. But God's nothing is something. If you dig a hole, you'll say there's nothing in there. But there is something. There's a nothing there. And that nothing is called what? A hole. So it is something. Nothing you can do anything with, but it is still a something, because there can't be a nothing in relationship to God. Relationship to God. So to understand I am a part of God's reality gives you a something in the middle of nothing, so something can happen. Is that clear? We dig a hole and we say there's nothing. And God says there is something. There's a space to do something. In all things, God is God. In the beginning, God created. Ex nihilo, Latin word for out of nothing. God created something. So even nothing to God is still as much something as something is to you. You need something. You need a sign from God. But God needs you to have nothing in order to do everything. Because in your nothingness is God's everything. Because Christ in you, at the name, the identity, the recognition, through Christ, what are we? Heirs and joint heirs with him. What does that mean? Whatever God gave Christ, he gave who? You. And what is he? The fullness of all things. In the beginning, God created out of nothing everything. Certain blinded scientific mind says this is impossible. And yet here we are. At some point there had to be nothing. And at that same point there had to be everything in order for anything to exist. If there is creation, simple, there must be a creator. If there is nothing, how do you know? Unless everything exists. And in nothing, God is everything. In your nothing, God is still everything. He doesn't need you to have a thing in order to do everything He's promised you. But what He requires of you is to understand that He is the everything in you, and you are right now, today, at this moment, and any given moment of time, you are the expression of His will, and He loves you because of it. For God so loved you because He called you into existence. And who are you? His will. His will, His idea. And what does that make you? A part of God's reality. And in that, you have the authority and the power according to the will of God. Let us give them dominion over all the earth. Part 2, Covenant 2, remaining covenant. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you, and you will be witnesses for me in all the earth. If God be for me, there is nothing that can be against me. So as taking on the mind of Christ, which we're called to do, we acknowledge that we are a prophetic experience of God. We are God's will in motion. You are God's will in motion. You are the active will of God in motion. And if you will act upon that will by faith, something incredible in your nothing, which means you don't see what you're looking for, but He promised He would do what you weren't looking for, what you weren't asking, what you weren't thinking about. So be excited when you see nothing, because that's the Word of God. He said, I'll show you something, because God's showing you something in your nothing, and it's everything. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who calls us to glory and virtue. What throws you off and messes up your party is you're looking to see with your senses, your eyes, your hearing, God, and He's beyond that. See, the reason He created us, God is infinite. The reason He created us, God is eternal. The reason He created us is God is omnipresent, without limitations, none whatsoever. That out of nothing, He creates everything. And He creates an experience for Himself because He's so God. Having everything, being all things, and the fullness of all things, because of His eternal nature, He continues to expand. He continues to express, and it will never, ever end. His glory is eternal. And we are in a revelatory time. I'm going to call it experience. An event where the identity of God is being expressed, and He wills to express it through you. Because you have limitations. As human beings, the Word makes it very clear. We're not saved because our ability, because we wanted to be saved. We're not saved because we were bad and wanted to be good. We're not saved because we were good and wanted to be bad. We're not saved because we called on Him. We're saved because He first called you. He is the fullness of all things. He is complete in every way. It's not by works, lest any man should boast, which means you can't do it. That's a limitation. And yet He's given you a promise. And that's called hope, and that's what we try to get away from. We try to get away from hope, because the Word says hope is about having confidence, standing, remaining. Hope creates a remaining position in your heart. Hope is parent to faith. Hope is brother to faith. Hope is related to faith. You're not going to have faith for something you don't hope in. If you're not hoping for it, why would you have faith for it? So God introduces hope. And how did he introduce this hope? Think about heaven not having hope, because what would it hope for? Well, because it has everything. But everything is not everything. Sometimes nothing is more than everything. You ever had something and you treated it with so-so regard, or someone, until you lost it or them? Amazing how much more you appreciate something you like but didn't take care of until you lost it. A great sales technique: tell people it's the last one. I have fallen prey to that very... thing. That strategy has worked on me more than once. It's the last one, Donna, it's the last one. But it's so expensive, but it's the last one. Do you need it? You're not hearing me. It's the last one. There'll never be in the history of mankind another one. Hope is important. And when you're going through an experience, you may call it a trial or a trying time, God is building something in you that you need, whether you know it or not. You need hope. You need hope. Because the word says hope gives you the ability to remain. Steadfastness. Without hope, you won't have faith. So God gave in the beginning hope to Adam and Eve. He said, the earth is yours. Adam, I want you to name everything and I want you to take dominion over it. He had the hope that he'd know what to do. Hope is a substance. It is kin. It is brother. It is parent to faith. And at those moments of hope, when you don't see, when your flesh and your mind tells you something is so wrong, you need to switch that up. You need to change that channel. You need to say, I am a part of God's reality. I am God's will in motion. Something incredible is coming out of the nothingness, out of ex nihilo, out of nothing. God does everything. And why would he do that? Why would he create mankind? Why are you experiencing your limitations right now? I'll tell you why. Because your limitations are too limiting to you. And given a chance, you act out of a human nature instead of a spiritual reality. So the prophetic word has no place, because you've given it no nothing. Good English, no nothing to take place in. I'm going to wait till you come back, Donna. Let's just wait. My wife just left the room. You know what's important is keeping your word. There she is. I think you just had to blow her nose. We won't tell anybody. God gives you a nothingness to do everything. And if you realize, if you understand, if you will receive this revelation. And revelation is vastly important, because the word says that as long as you continue to need milk, you are unskillful in the word of righteousness, and you cannot do what you should do. You cannot demonstrate the righteousness of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And you're missing some of that. Not because it doesn't have the potential to make itself known, but it needs a reality to take place in, and you're that reality with limitations. Why? Because God wanted heaven and earth to experience who he is in a fuller way. So how would we do that? Create something. Give it this something out of nothing. My word. and I'll love it because I love my word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Why did God love Jesus? I do always the will of my Father. The Father loves His will. The Father loves His Word. What will encourage you in your faith and in your hope is if you realize that's who and what you are. Regardless of what you're going through, God wants a nothingness in order to create something new. So He created us with limitations so we could not only experience for ourselves what beyond limitation feels like, but so could heaven. How can heaven experience beyond limitations when there are none? But God is beyond limitations. God is beyond nothing. And we are something that God created out of nothing. So the experience of knowing what beyond who and what you are could be revealed. Had Satan have known that, he would never have fallen. God said, let's teach heaven something. Let's teach them what beyond everything is. And I'm going to start with nothing. And I'm going to create it out of my will, so I'm going to love it. What is it that God so loves about the world? His word. His will. Jesus said, the Father loves me. Who was Jesus? The will of the Father. I am the will of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't consider the being equal with God a thing to be considered or conceived or grasped, but he humbled himself. How did he do it then? He humbled himself to the will of the Father. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing today, it's your opportunity to hope. And in your hope, you're going to be steadfast. And in your steadfastness, faith is going to arise. And God's going to change your character and your personality into something that is more the form and the image of His will. And He's going to continue to expand you until you become as big as the universe and beyond by the will of the Father. He didn't just give you eternal life. He made you to be eternal life. Beyond limitations. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me. Isn't that amazing? And the life I now live in the flesh. Word of the Lord, Chris. It's what God's saying to you. You've known how to be strong in your faith in you, but God is taking you beyond the faith of you to reveal beyond you. And in order for that to happen, the limitations keep popping up. So you know what it is to live beyond them without being moved inwardly. So you do what? You hope. Your hope becomes strong. And in your strength of your hope, your faith just innately increases in the sense that the flesh and the concerns and the fear diminish. And where you came from and who you were and what was and wasn't done doesn't matter anymore, because it is no longer you or about you. It is about the will of the Father out of which He has formed and created you. And in that, you'll continue to see expanse, and grow, but your mind will be all so different. You will perceive it, see it, and experience it far different. Lee, than you would have imagined, with a far greater sense of security and awareness without considering how secure it is, knowing that you are secure in the hope of Christ in you. And this is that season of your life. Expanse is beyond the horizon in you. So God shows you beyond you. Worlds without end. Time beyond time. Invisible realities. So God is spirit and He says, like, let's make man. Limitations tell him what to do. He can't do it unless he realizes he is a part of my reality. He won't do it. So what do we do? Let him die to himself. And he will die anyway unless he dies to himself. God give me, God bless me. The garden did not have the power based on its foliage, its greenery, its rivers, its gold, its precious stones. It did not have the power to satisfy. The power of the garden was not and were not the trees, nor the rivers, nor the precious metals in it. The satisfaction, the success of the garden was the will of the Lord that was in it. So it is with you. The power of your satisfaction, the power of your joy, the power of your fullness, the power of your peace is not in the things, even though God created them, but in the reality of His Word in you. That's why prophetic is so vitally important. Revelation, that's my call. Revelation is so important because without it, you don't grow and you become satisfied with what is accomplished through your faith in what you want done, and you never see the drape pulled back, so you become mature, demonstrating the kingdom of God, which the earth and the earth within you travails and groans to see revealed. So brings to mind a question. Where is the garden? Can we today enjoy the perks, the blessing, the favor of the garden? Yes, we have to, because we are redeemed. Adam, representation of the Son of God. Why did God love Adam? Because he was the will of the Father, and God breathed ruach into him, and he created him out of ex nihilo. Nothing. So don't complain to God about nothing. Thank him for it. It's a space to do everything. Because even nothing is something important to God. But your doubt is your rejection to the infinity, omnipresence. God's way is perfect. All things were created by Him and for Him and for His pleasure. God's going to have an experience with something He created. He wants that experience. So He said, I'm going to share the nature of my beyond with my creation by giving them limitations and then taking them beyond it. They will know what it is to share in my beyond, in my infinite nature, in my internal power. Just think about it a second. What does salvation give us? Share with the nature of God. And we can't do it. So we have to come into relationship with the Father. And what is that DNA factor? Hope and faith. So God gives you an opportunity of an emptiness and says, remain in hope and don't change. And then hope is God's way of introducing you to faith. I give you my word. Why? So you will hope in it. And then what? And then through that, faith is born. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, related to, and the evidence of things unseen, invisible, nothing. So what is God saying? When you're experiencing nothing, that's where everything is going to happen. When you stand firm in hope, your character takes on the character of Christ. That's why He came as a representation for the will of the Father. And He says, He's with me always. He'll never leave me. He loves me. Because I am His express image. What He says, I say. What I see Him do, I do. It is not me that does anything. It is the Father doing it through me. We need to take on that mind for real and not contradict yourself and convince your mind that something different is going on. God's way is perfect. And the way he established it, it remains, and it remains in you. Out of nothing, God gives us everything. Moses, here's passage through the sea, but you're going into a place where there won't be any water. So the sea can't be your representation in the wilderness. It's just enough to get you to cross over to the other side so I can show you out of nothing, I'll do everything. Where could you put your foot and God wouldn't cause you to flourish? Can you find a place where God is not? Can you find a place where the word of the Lord cannot bring forth something that glorifies God? Is there any place you can go? No, there is no place where our feet tread in faith and obedience to the will of God, God will do. What will he do? What we know to ask or think? No, beyond that. Expect beyond what you know to ask or think. Change won't change you, but impartation will reveal God in you. Confidence in what was is not the strength of what is to come, but confidence in what God has said is your point, your part, your position, your purpose, and your power. And you are in the sea of that wonderful time right now, and God will be revealed, and nothing will be taken from you. And everything has been given to you. This is that now time. This is that now time. So, step away from that which doubts that out of nothing everything will be revealed. Let it go, say goodbye to it, and step into the season of I am a part of God's reality. Let him, let her, let they purge and move on. What is left to say? And God will bring together a new thing, which is conceived, born out of faith, not necessity, out of vision, and not blindness. And God will bless it. And what more can we say of that? God will bless it. God is the increase of that day. Donnie, God's going to wake something up in your mind. This is not the latter season. This is the beginning for you. This is the beginning of something absolutely, tremendously, totally new. You have to experience it by hope. And then you will live in it by faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. And the Lord is your healer. And the Lord is your strength. And the Lord is in you now. So in you now, you are healed. In you now, you are well. In you now, you are renewed. In you now, you will not fear. For the Lord is with you. Mighty God. Maria, in you now, your spirit and body will not separate. In you now, you will walk in a renewed hope. In you now, the Lord is present with you. In you now, God is taking you where he wants you. In you now, God is doing between both of you and through you, that which he wills you to know, a confidence, a steadfastness, and a change for revelation of hope, not considering that you are against anyone or for anyone, but that you are the will of the Father being revealed. Simply listen, and you will hear. Father, we praise you today in your infinite, endless, eternal wisdom and the graciousness, and the glory. My God, your way is perfect, complete. You are with us. There's great expanse coming into the nations of the earth, the Lord being revealed. It will look like a new place, a new world will envelop the old world. And the old will pass away as a memory, but the faith of that time will remain as a witness that God has shown you, beyond the time, beyond that which was, giving way to that which is to be revealed, and we know it is that which is to come. What a great season. I hear sounds of laughter and joy and rejoicing, and it is not feigned. It is not put on. It is not contrived. It is in awe of God and His glory. We worship you. Thank you, Father, for creating us as your will, your word, part of your reality. For God so loved that he gave. Blessed be your holy name now and throughout eternity, forever and beyond. We worship you. Praise and thank you. There's healing right here in this utmost fear. God is beyond. And out of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he created all things. Father, we surrender to you. Your will, your purpose, your wisdom, your wonder. Christ within us, our hope of your glory being revealed. Jesus. If you're listening and you say, I want this, with your heart, your mind, begin with your mouth, hope to salvation. Jesus, I believe without being able even to fully understand, all I know is that I believe because God made you to believe. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You came, you laid down your life to save me. Thank you. I receive, accept the gift of salvation. The old has passed, the new has come, sins are forgiven, I'm washed in the blood, I'm made clean. Fill me with your spirit. Let me know your will. Let me be a pleasing experience to you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that, just accept, believe, it's a reality. God is so infinite, so ever-present. He's so beyond the imagination of man. Understand that and receive this incredible gift of God's infinite presence, word, spirit, and power. We are in the brightest light in one of the darkest days. So chaos is throughout the world that God will show us beyond. Division struggles against itself, but God is unity, showing us again beyond division. So we know God in ways we can reveal by the will and the Spirit of God, God in ways heaven couldn't even know, except God be revealed through his creation. He does everything for purpose. He wouldn't have done it if it wasn't essential and necessary. Done what? Created you and I. You are so vitally, vitally important to God that he created you and has given you life. He's breathing, living, abiding in you, Christ in you. the great hope of glory. And I speak a change of time right now. Time is changing right now. Right now. And on in through the week to come. Time will change. We are the prophetic utterance by the Spirit, the will, and the word of the Lord. So I prophesy. This week, as we come into the dawn of a new week, unlike any other week before, it has never existed before. So let the glory of that time, that event, make itself known in Jesus' name. Time is an event. You typically never remember what time it was until you relate it to an experience. And then you will say something like, I remember the time when. God does the same thing in the day of Noah. This is the day that God has made. We rejoice and we're glad in it in Jesus' name. Everybody shout it.